Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to Find Your True Gift, three paths to maximizing impact in your career. Frankly, though, if you're listening to this audio, you're somebody who's taking responsibility and is excited about having probably extraordinary impact in your whole life. Career is a part of that. I want to welcome you. I don't know if you're joining me here for our fifth session because you've been listening to the whole personal coaching series, or if maybe you're going in some bookstore somewhere and you saw the title, Find Your True Gift, and you said, that's it. I'm tired of doing stuff just because I have to do it. I want to know what I'd love to do. I want to know what would light me up in the morning, make me feel completely alive. If that's what you tuned in for, I think you're going to be very pleased with our two sessions here. Let me kind of set this up for you in a really simple way. Everything I'm committed to in personal coaching is helping people create an extraordinary life. Now, what the heck does that mean? To me, that means a life of meaning. To have a life of meaning, it's got to be a life based on your terms. That doesn't mean ego, like, you know, it has to be my way. It means it has to be in alignment with what you think matters most. And you know what's interesting is most people spend, what, 30, 40, 50, 60, some of us 80 hours or more a week on this thing called our work. Whether it be the job you call it or the career or really for some of us, our sense of mission, the time we spend is a significant part of our life. So if you're gonna have an extraordinary life, you gotta have extraordinary work. In fact, so often I ask people, I'll say, you know, tell me about your job, your career, or your mission. And I say, by the way, what do you think of it as? If they tell me it's their job, immediately I know their level of joy and fulfillment is going to be extremely low. Now, that may not be universal, but about 95% of the time, the fact that you think of it as a job means that it usually isn't that much meaning. You're doing it for a paycheck. In fact, the statistics for America are scary. Less than 50% of the people, in a study done in 2005, say they're even satisfied in their work. I mean, not thrilled, not excited, not passionate, not I can't wait to get there because it's an expression of my spirit and my soul and what I'm contributing to the world or society or my family. This is just like basic satisfaction. A quarter of the people who go to work say specifically they check off the box in the survey that says I'm showing up to collect a paycheck, which means literally they're only doing it because they have to. Now, interestingly enough, if you're going to feel alive, you got to work. How does it feel when you work your muscles? And you've done a great workout, you know, maybe in the beginning it's kind of painful because you're not ready for it. But after a while, you start to desire it. You start to want that workout. You want that feeling that comes from expressing and using all that you are physically. Well, that's even more true on an emotional, psychological, and spiritual level in the thing we call just daily work. I mean, you know, when you're really expressing your gift, work becomes like a miracle. Khalil Gibran in the book, The Prophet, said something I'll never forget. He said, your work is love made visible. Wow, that's what I want. I want to make sure every day when I step in to serve people, it's from the deepest part of my soul and something comes through in my voice or my thoughts or my eyes or my expression that brings them back to the place of what's most important for them. Not what they were conditioned to believe by their society or the environment, but allows them to experience that daily feeling of being alive that comes from meaning, that comes from work that you love, that comes from knowing your nature and each day expressing your gift. That's what this is really about. And now you might say, well, yeah, I don't want to work. Well, look at the people that you know of or you've read about. They don't have to. You know, in the Bible, it talks about 6 days labor, 1 day rest. And there's a reason for that. We're not just here on earth to just sit around and just experience nothing. If you've ever tried that for a period of time, it feels good for a while because it's a great change of pace. We need rest. We need to do nothing. We need to be able to let go. But we also have to have a sense of meaning in our life. And meaning comes from two things, growing and giving. I don't care what it is in life. If you're going to feel happy, it's because you're making progress. And work is a place that not only demands it, but it offers us the opportunity to create relationships, to create opportunity, to create new content, an idea, a concept, a breakthrough, to solve a problem, to help a human being. We all need that. Some people's work, by the way, some people's career, somebody's mission is their children. And, you know, and we live in a society where today, very often, that's no longer appreciated, where it's almost like, well, if you're a full-time parent, for some people, there's almost like a stigma attached to this, like, well, why aren't you doing more? The secret of really being fulfilled is to know what your gift is, not just your ability, not just the skills you've learned, but to know what your gift is and to live that. And also have the compassion for other people and understanding and appreciation of other people's gifts. That makes life so beautiful. People love someone who appreciates their gift and isn't trying to make them to be something they're not. Now, why do I bring this up? Because if you're listening to this audio right now, some part of you wants more. Would that be fair to say? More success in what you're doing, more fulfillment in what you're doing, you know, more meaning in what you're doing. And most people don't have it because they have a conflict between who they think they should be and who they are. As long as that conflict is there, as long as we're trying to do something we're not thrilled about, or we're trying to do something that really isn't part of our nature, I got to tell you something. You might succeed for a while, but not long term. And more importantly, you're going to be stressed. You're going to be unfulfilled. Now you say, well, to be fulfilled, you're saying basically I got to enjoy my work? Yes, it's very easy. That doesn't mean you enjoy every moment of everything you got to do or, you know, the responsibilities or the timelines. But the essence of what you show up to give each day is something that lights you up. When that happens, it changes your intimate relationship because you don't come home at the same level of stress because something inside of you feels so alive, so fulfilled, so meaningful. And because of that, that aliveness in you is something you could share with your children. You can share it with your spouse. You can share it with your friends. I mean, how many people you know that come home at the end of the day and go, how was work? Oh my God, I had the greatest day. I so love what I do. It's so few. And I'll tell you why. Most of us picked our career unconsciously. We did it based upon conditioning or proximity or expectation. And you might say, well, Tony, you know, obviously I've got to enjoy my work. I've picked my work. Yes, but did you pick it consciously knowing what your gifts are? Knowing what's inside of you that's most powerful? Not the part of you that's been educated and trained. We can all train ourselves to do just about anything. The part of you that you were born with that needs to be expressed. See, children can be born, I don't care what you talk about, psychology or conditioning. You know, I got four kids. You know, at birth, some of them want to jump off, you know, when they're 3 months old, they want to crawl over the counter and, you know, make a leap into the unknown. And some of them want to, you know, kind of stay right next to you and don't move 2 inches until they start screaming and crying. That isn't conditioning. That's nature. See, the greatest challenge in life is when we think that our nature is wrong, that something else is better. And so in this program, I'm going to take you into two sessions. One with a dear friend of mine who I have enormous respect for, and that's Dr. Stephen Covey. You know, there are a lot of people in the personal development business, and just like any other environment, doctors, lawyers, business people, there are some that have enormous integrity. I mean, they really walk their talk. They believe what they're sharing. They're not perfect, but they really walk it. And I got to tell you, Stephen is one of those rare souls. And the interview that you're going to hear that I did with him was the first we ever did together, almost a decade and a half ago. But Stephen at the time said, and he still says, it's one of his best interviews ever. You'll hear him say that in the conversation. Because we got into the essence of what is it that creates the victories in life? What is it that creates the internal victory, the thing that makes you feel alive? If everybody else tells you, hey, great job, love your work, did a great thing, but inside you, you don't feel great about it. It doesn't last. And also, if you don't create the internal victories on a regular basis, what I call it is knowing what you're about, knowing what you're committed to, doing what's necessary within yourself so you feel alive and strong and clear and directed allows you to give your gift to other people. And most people don't take that time. They're just so stressed out doing what they got to do. So I think you're going to really enjoy kind of discovering a little bit about paradigms, expectations, and how they control your thoughts. And so you get a little introduction to his 7 habits directly from the man off the cuff, not in a controlled fashion, but really in a conversation between two good friends. And so that's why I'm sharing this with you. But then the second one is from a very recent seminar with a group of people called my Platinum Partners. Now, my Platinum Partners are all very successful business people, successful in economic terms for sure. They've achieved extremely high levels. They make large contributions to our foundation where we helped last year to feed 4 million people, to give you an idea, and literally now more than 35 countries. So I do this program for them. And in it, amongst these successful people, as you might guess, there are people with enormous stress. They're the best in their industry. They're certainly doing unbelievably well economically, the majority of them. Some, of course, are going through different stages, the different times of challenges in their businesses. But here's what's fascinating. So many people are successful, but they're not necessarily enjoying it because they're not living their gift. And what came out of this program was that most people think they're supposed to be a certain way. In this case, these people are all entrepreneurs. Right? They're all people that own their own businesses. They built these businesses into very successful companies. But sure enough, many of these people, even when they're successful, don't feel fulfilled because there's a part of them gnawing at them that says, this is not what I'm made for. Or They keep trying to be an entrepreneur when their real gift in life is some unique talent. Like, they have the ability to write code effortlessly in computers, which, you know, I don't even have that skill, much less is that my gift. But this one man is just a genius. Anybody I've ever talked to says, you sit down with this man and he can take a problem and create it into a solution that's systematized in a computer in like a flash. It's just like this thing flows through him. And when he's doing it, he can write code, as he shared with me, for, you know, 16 hours a day or whatever it is, and not think anything of it. I mean, love every moment. Now, he's been successful as a businessman at times, and other times he's had enormous near edge losing the business. You know, that's part of entrepreneurship, but he doesn't love that experience of coming to the edge. You know, entrepreneurs are risk takers. It's their nature. They get juiced. They get excited. And, you know, one man in the room was talking about how he almost lost everything three times, and the sense of aliveness that gave him. Other people are like, are you insane? I want to get up each day and know what I'm going to do and just do what I love and not have to think about that stuff. And he goes, God, I'd be bored out of my mind with that. Here's my point. Nature is the secret to fulfillment. Knowing your nature. Knowing your gift. Not making yourself wrong. And the man I was describing, in the end, he said, you know, I realize I've lost my confidence recently in life because I think I have to be this entrepreneur all the time, and I've made some poor decisions because it's not my love. I don't give it the same time and energy and effort. Even when I do, I'm not as smart in that context as I am with code and creation. I said, you've got a gift. It's a talent. That gift has to be utilized each day for you to feel alive, much less for you to be successful. Find somebody whose gift is entrepreneurship and make them your partner. Let them worry about that and let them enjoy worrying about that. Then that's not a worry. It's an aliveness. Some people, it's their ability to manage, their ability to lead, their ability to step in and get people to produce a result, to come up with a vision and follow through, and to make sure that that goes from point A to point B, you know, flawlessly every time. Other people are like, I can't stand working with people. I mean, I love people, but they're too slow for me. I just want to do it myself. See, if you're going to be totally thrilled with your life, this part of the pyramid of mastery called career, or what I would think of as mission, because that's what it's like when it's really alive, this part of your life has got to be mastered, not dabbled in. And as simple as this conversation may sound, you go, well, Tony, but, you know, I love what I do. The question is, how did you get in the position you're in right now? Did you consciously select your career? Sure I did. How? How many people have you asked the question, how did you become a lawyer or a doctor or an artist or a businessman or whatever? And they say, well, you know, my father was, my mother was. They always wanted me to be this, and, you know, I'm really proud that I am. But if they got enormous stress on a regular basis in their career, they've learned to do it. They've mastered the skill, but it's not their nature. Now, am I saying, okay, you're a doctor and you shouldn't be now, you should go become an artist full-time, just throw your pendulum? No. There are bridges from where you are to where you want to get to that are intelligent and useful. But this first session here is really going to be about discovering what that gift is and having the courage to discover it and the compassion with yourself to say, hey, something else isn't better. This is the best. I mean, the example I gave some of these entrepreneurs, for example, who thought they all had to be entrepreneurs, and that's, you know, the most important thing in life, then you're totally successful if you do that. I said, look, talent gets to go home. You know, you don't have to worry all night long about, oh my God, somebody made a decision that could cost everything you've built for 30 years of your life. I mean, it's a nice thing. I mean, you look at somebody who's got a talent, I don't care if it's, you know, an athlete, an obvious example like a Kobe Bryant. I mean, he makes $18 million a year, and he's not the manager who has to coordinate everybody and the leader of this piece. You know, Phil Jackson has won 9 NBA championships, and he makes half as much as Kobe Bryant, who's been involved with 3. The same thing is true in the acting business. I mean, Tom Cruise gets $25 million a picture, even if it were to lose money. That's a nice guarantee. That's not something the entrepreneur gets, right? Now, he may be becoming an entrepreneur today, but he really did it by knowing his gift, expressing it, and growing through it. Now he's got other people around him to run those businesses. I mean, there's an interesting aspect of how much talent is rewarded, and all of us have a talent, an inborn gift, finding in his beauty. So I may sound like I'm going all over it, but I'm just saying, how did you pick your gift? Did you pick it consciously, or was it conditioned? Some people, it's almost like an expectation in your family. We were all police officers. We were all, you know, magicians. You know, we were all whatever the case may be. And so then if we're not that, we'd almost feel guilty, like we let somebody down. Some of us, it was by inspiration. You know, we had a teacher that really touched us and moved us and believed in us. And it's like, wow, that's what life's about. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. So whether it was inspired or expected, whether it was conditioned or chosen consciously, each day, whatever is your gift has got to be expressed. So my prayer for you, my absolute commitment to you in this audio is to get you connected to the truth of your real nature. I'm saying your gift is waiting for you. And what this will do is reaffirm it and refine your understanding of it or your understanding of your mission. Or notice that maybe you've developed some beliefs about your gift that's time to get rid of. Or maybe you'll just appreciate it more, and that alone will get you to express it on a more powerful basis. Or maybe this will be the beginning of you taking the time for yourself to find what that gift really is. Either way, these next few minutes we spend together, both with Stephen Covey and with the Platinum Partners, I think you'll find extraordinarily valuable. And at the end, I'll share with you a story, especially on the DVD, of a dear friend of mine who became, you know, Entrepreneur of the Year, but how he got from a place where he had been successful in one context, totally successful, meeting the needs of his family and being what everybody thought he should be, but he wanted to kill himself, to the man today who's the most successful in the world at what he does, but simultaneously every day wakes up with a sense of joy that isn't manufactured, isn't some positive thinking. He's not trying to get all pumped up. He just feels alive because what God is giving him is being expressed. That's my, again, my prayer, my wish for you. So let's get ourselves started, shall we? Let's start out with just a brilliant and deep and beautiful soul, my dear friend, Stephen Covey.